Good evening, and welcome to an Old Guys Leave edition of the JMU Sports Blog Podcast, right, Rob?
Yes. Correct.
Correct. Welcome, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Rob and I are going to have a little fun tonight being old, little inside baseball here. We were getting ready to record tonight, and I asked Rob if he was ready, and he said, I need a few minutes for the tea to brew. Yeah. And I actually said, me too. So we really crossed the Rubicon here, Rob.
We really have. It's happening.
I don't know what to say. I
got all stressed out because I couldn't figure out how to open the box of my calming tea, which kind of defeats the purpose of it. That's kind of like super frustrated. So
you're like chucking it at the wall. Yeah. You're so calm tonight, Rob. Yes.
Exactly.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us. As always, we are brought to you by Pale Fire Brewing in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Big thanks to Pale Fire for all their support the last couple of years. Looking forward to a great 2019 with our friends down there at Pale Fire. I am officially going to be at the Rocktown Brewfest in April, which is Pale Fire is one of the main sponsors.
So, I saw that. I'm kind of jealous.
So hopefully some people can, other Dukes will be down there. I know a few people will be. I think Zach and Laura worked at it last year. I know Ben's going to be there.
I think Ben's, yeah.
Yeah, so it should be fun. So if anybody's down there, go by Pale Fire, mention the podcast, and you get a free pint glass, and come to the Rocktown Beer Fest in April. As always, rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. 5 points, 5 stars for the JMUSB pod. We really appreciate everyone who's done that. Hope it's a few more people do that. We're never going to reach the stratosphere here, but it's nice to have the feedback anyways. Maybe that'll someday buy us into a better platform, right?
Yeah.
A couple notes as we get started tonight. We're going to really kind of have fun tonight. We're not going to do a lot of serious sports stuff, but we are going to we really have some cool stuff coming up in the next few weeks. Before we get there, we should say a special shout out to JMU Swimming and Diving, who wrapped up their regular season with a big win on senior day over Marshall. I think I'm supposed to say Jillian Brieger, Kelly Long, and Madison Oster are the three seniors that were honored. So congrats to them. Thanks for all the time and effort they have put at the pool there in the auditorium. And good luck to all the swimmers and divers that have a chance in the postseason. So good job, Dukes. And the next couple of weeks, we're definitely going to have Coach O'Regan on before the postseason starts for women's basketball. They just destroyed people, as we said they would last weekend in both games, right? As we also said.
Oh, but I don't think we predicted that.
We didn't predict that they'd be up 48-8 at the half on Eli.
Yeah, that's just, taking somebody by the woodshed.
Yeah, that was breaking the all-time Convocation Center record for least points in the half, previously set by Coppin State with 9, I think, in a men's game a few decades ago. Right. So, yeah, that was an absolute beatdown of a team that has been a thorn in JMU's side the last couple of years and was a lot of fun to at least follow along, if not to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're really excited. We've had Coach O on a few times. He's one of the best guests we have. Excited to have him. And I think we're probably going to have Coach Laporta from softball in the preseason. Softball, it was announced today, is entering the season as the number 22 ranked team in the nation. Rob, I don't think I've been happier. It's funny watching Jimmy in the Senior Bowl last weekend and then seeing that picture of Megan Good back on the field this week. That's pretty – those two are – I mean, to have them both here in the same year, that's pretty GOAT status on both sides of the aisle there.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's been a special run, but it's really good. Particularly the way both of them missed years, entire seasons for different things. But see Megan back healthy and ready to go. And I know a lot of fans were worried that she was done with JMU when she got injured and Mickey left. But I'm really happy that she stuck it out and looking forward to seeing, a fantastic senior of the year where anything is on the table. You know, National Player of the Year is not just a pipe dream. It's something she's in the running for. So
yeah. I saw my buddy Tim Emery from the Charlotte Dukes this weekend, and We were challenging each other that we definitely want to make the Oklahoma City trip if the Dukes get that far this summer. So we're going to find a way. So hopefully everyone can join us if the Dukes were to make their first ever appearance in the College World Series for softball this summer. So go – not to set the expectations way too high, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. Let's keep it reasonable.
Yeah, let's keep it reasonable. Yeah, come on. Just make the College World Series. So Rob, we have two topics tonight, a true overtime and then one that's very JMU related, but not necessarily sports. Do you want to introduce our main thing we're going to do tonight?
Well, I guess I did take it from a sports perspective because I'm very myopic like that. But okay. We're just doing it's our off-season JMU hot takes. Just trying to have fun with it. I mean, we can only talk about the spring sports and how we're excited about them so much without boring ourselves. I can't imagine anybody would want to listen. So we're just going to have a little bit of fun. Talk about maybe semi-serious, maybe semi-joking, just classic off-season hot takes related to JMU. And we'll each do, what, two or three?
Two or three, yeah. Yeah, I've written three, but one is not sports related. So actually two are not sports related, so we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Oh, well, I have all three.
No, I have two that are sports. Yeah. So I'll stick with those. Yeah.
Okay.
So you want to start us off?
Well, this will be kind of a continuation of something you teased last week.
Okay.
But here's my big one to lead off with. Coach O eventually leaves JMU with more tourney wins than Coach Brooks.
So and would that be one?
That would be one. That would be it.
Okay,
eventually.
The over-under is 0.5.
The over-under is one. And this is a continuation of what we were talking about last week, where we loved and appreciated Kenny and thought he was a great coach. I wish things were going a little better for him in the ACC down at Virginia Tech, but I think he will turn that around. But I really think we're better off with Coach O. I think what we're seeing now with this team and the way it's built around a more team concept – it's primed to maybe go on a run and let's keep things in perspective. This is not, you know, we're not ready to compete with the Connecticut's and Notre Dame's of the world. But I do think this is a style of play and a team version of basketball where you can go in and actually expect to maybe win a game in the term, maybe win two. And that's kind of the point. Like all he's got to do is win two and he's already surpassed Kenny. Kenny was really good and I don't want to be like the Kenny basher. I really mean this to be more hey, the ceiling is very high with Coach O, but I basically I think he could sort of tie him or surpass him this year. But I think he's building a program where in the very near future we could have things like maybe Sweet 16s be the goal rather than making the tournament. So
that's right. I think that's a good one. I also think that he's building, I mean, you know, we did a lot of teeth gnashing about the men's program last week, and I was very impressed to see Coach Rowe at the press conference today really address that stuff head on. And, you know, I think I said something on Twitter today, just it's so hard for us to be overly critical of him because we like him so much for exactly this reason.
Yeah, you know,
I that was hard, but with Coach O and the women's team, I mean, they are really building towards, you know, they've been doing a good job in recruiting already for 10 years now. But with them moving into a new arena, you have to think like the sky's the limit for them.
Yeah.
They're really positioned to capitalize on that.
Absolutely.
You know, in a different way than the men's program is. Yeah.
Everybody's kind of hoping that the arena itself will be the bump for the men's team. But for the women's team, it's more kind of that extra little bump to get over the hump.
That's right. Well, and I think watching lacrosse this summer, watching what we've seen from softball the last 5 or 6 years, you know, you start, at least on the women's side of it, you got to kind of think, you start raising your own dreams a little bit if you're people who are thinking about attending JMU and playing there. So, yeah, that's really, I like that one, Rob. Coach O could leave with more wins than Coach Brooks in the tournament. All right. So I guess I'll go with my first one, which is I don't know if this is super controversial, but I think Coach Withers was really important to where JMU is as a football program right now.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, just we all, like, we have so much fun at his expense for, so, you know, a lot of well-earned things. But that was just, he was the perfect shot in the arm for this program. And his understanding of having been at an Ohio State and having been at big, big programs, you know, having been the head guy at North Carolina, even under weird circumstances, it just changed the whole mentality of our fan base and our sort of booster / donor culture. And I think that, you know, even if you hate the defense and even if you hate the screaming through Pilot on game day morning and all kinds of stuff, like even without that stuff, it changed what was possible for this program and started to bring in people and really organize the collective of what's out there in JMU Nation at a really important time. And, you know, not that we're going to stop picking on those other things, but that it's not revisionist history. And I think we all need to take a step back and say that was the perfect thing at the perfect time. So,
oh, if you want to hot take it up, though, you could say, I bet you 10 years from now, the gap in perception amongst fans between him and Houston will be a heck of a lot closer than you can imagine.
Yeah, it might be, especially if, you know, if Coach Cignetti or even his successors, you know, do big things. I think that's exactly right.
And I'm not trying to say that he was on the field coach at Houston. He wasn't, but he did a lot of things to set that up so a guy like Houston, who has all the skills that he brought to the table, could capitalize it. He didn't need to kind of rebuild the entire culture. Houston was able to leverage the alpha dogs and things. I mean, geez, those guys in particular.
Yeah, that's
just monumental what happened there. So just taking it more seriously in a lot of ways, a little less seriously in others, which we will poke fun at. But no, he was exactly the right guy at the right time.
Yep.
I think if he had stuck around.
No, it would have fallen apart.
It would have fallen apart. It would have unwound it. Yep. But for 2 years, absolutely.
Yeah.
He gave us – we definitely got as much as we put into it for that one.
Right.
School perspective.
Cool.
Okay. I've got somewhat of a depressing one. And while we do love Roe and we do have high hopes for the basketball program, we're amongst the few people still paying attention.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was looking up today, and I think that the total home attendance for CAA games this year, if you add it all up, I think it's going to be less than the average attendance of a football game.
That's right.
Which is just depressing. Yep. I think last year, what did we average? We were like 23,000 fans.
Right. 2,300.
23. No, I'm talking about
for the whole season.
For the whole season. I don't know. You break it down. If you count that Delaware game.
Yeah.
That drops it down. But I actually looked it up today, and I think it was they averaged 23,670 for a football game.
Okay.
They've got 9 home basketball games on the books for conference play. I'm counting.
Mm-hmm.
They've only drawn 11,000 people through 5 games.
Oof. Yeah.
And if you look at who's coming up, it's not super impressive. I think you've got Drexel on a Thursday night, Elon on a Thursday night. They're not going to draw a big crowd. You got Delaware, which is actually a pretty decent team, but not. And then William Mary to close the season. So they got to average 2,300 fans or thereabouts, just to get even, if you include the Delaware game, which drops the average down to 20,000. So
yeah,
it is just bad news. And Todd, you and I were there in the 90s in the lefty era.
Yeah.
And like a lot of things, we say lefty was great, but lefty his legend has grown with age.
Sure.
There was, you know, again, one tournament appearance, a lot of really good regular season teams.
And a whole bunch of practices where lefty was barely on the court and Chuck Yersel was leading the team. Yeah.
But there were fans there.
There were.
And people will tell you like, oh, you know, there were times the combo was standing room only and 5,000 people. And I was like, I don't know. I looked it up today. That's actually true. Like back in like 95, they averaged 5,600 fans.
There was less to do, right? I mean,
yeah, but also there were 12,000 people on campus.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's a lot less students. That's true. Yeah,
there's 22.
Good point.
Almost 23,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's like 90% growth in the student body and a 60% drop in attendance.
Yeah,
that is just bad. So,
Harry Doyle, right?
I'm not trying to pile on. But just the point is, like, we all are disappointed with Roe, and people are very disappointed with aspects of Brady.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a long, slow decline.
Right.
It's gonna take a while to dig out of it. So
yeah, it's
just to follow what we were saying last week, like, it's not – the results are not there. We absolutely know that. We are not willing to overlook it.
Nope.
But I don't know. If you're not going to make a big move and really go all in terms of resources and money for coaches and things like that – then I don't know. It's going to take a lot of passion, and that's one thing Roe has.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pulling 4 miles here, but this is not going to be a quick turnaround.
Nope. I mean, this is the beginning of Major League here, right, Harry Doyle?
Mm-hmm.
In case you haven't been paying attention, and judging by the attendance, you haven't.
You haven't. Right? No, I mean, people don't care. Like I'm scared we could see like actual, not even butts in seats, like reported attendance below like 1,500 some games next year.
Yeah.
And they dip below 2,000 a couple games this year.
Yeah.
With a pretty miserable schedule and bad timing with students on breaks and things like that. But And it is, nobody seems to care.
Could the softball team outdraw the men's basketball team? That's where we may be by the end of this year.
We could be. Right. We could be talking peak attendance at its high point.
Right. Doing it. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's pretty rough. I guess my next one, Rob, and this is more of a long-term one. I would love to see JMU. You know, everybody knows, and maybe there'll be one about conference stuff here before we're done. But everybody knows that JMU is spending at the really, really high end of the FCS level already. Mm-hmm. And they've added cost of attendance. And they certainly, you know, that it's tough times in every state. It's certainly tough times in Virginia the last 20 years in terms of the kind of support they get from the state. But I would love to see JMU come up with some kind of plan where they're actually considering adding sports again. You know, maybe just two, because they're going to have to deal with Title IX. But the one I was thinking of is near and dear to you, and I would love to see them having men's lacrosse. I think that's not something that's going to happen overnight, but 10 or 15 years down the road, that's certainly – and I'd love to – I'm not saying they're going to do it. I just am saying that's something I'd love to see them drafting some kind of a plan that involves re-adding back in maybe two sports. And they obviously would have to add a women's sport as well. So –
Or you could go the Richmond route, and didn't they drop soccer in favor of lacrosse?
Yeah, JMU could drop another women's sport, but they're so successful, and I think those students.
They dropped men's soccer, I think.
Right. To add lacrosse, right? Yeah, and I think lacrosse. They dropped. Yeah, they dropped a couple things, I think, actually. Yeah. You know, JMU is at the minimum number of men's sports right now. I think six that they have to be at. But I don't know. That's just something I was thinking about in the long term. That's probably not popular on campus, but just seems like they're in a good area and a good location, and they'd be ready for it if they ever had the opportunity. So,
and it's one of those things, like, you got to get in the next 3 to 5 years or else the ship's going to sail.
Right.
You know, already, particularly with, like, the Big Ten becoming somewhat of a power conference now.
Right.
Clearly around, I hate to say it, but Richmond's actually
at
a national level.
Right.
That's good. Right. That could happen.
Yep.
All right, I've got a very morning talk radio type one for my last one.
Okay, me too.
I don't even know how to say this guy's name because I've only known of him for roughly 24 hours now.
Oh, yes. Yes, our quarterback.
Yes. Was it Knox Kadum?
Yes. Kadum? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, here's my prediction.
Yeah.
My prediction is he will start more games at quarterback over his career than Gage or Kojo combined.
Okay, so he'd have to come in.
He's got to come
he'd
in.
Play. Would he have to play?
No, he doesn't need to do anything. I'm just saying, like, eventually.
I think that's – you might as well. Shoot that shot. Yeah, I mean, he could have five years on campus in the end, right?
He could have 5 years on campus.
What, probably going to have four.
Gage has, what, 3 more years eligibility?
3 or 2? Ooh, now I'm confused. Yeah, all right. 2 or 3?
No, because he came in against Colgate.
Okay.
Because they put the shirt back on Kojo. So yeah, each of those guys got.
So is our, so what's two, your, three? What's your hot take on who the starter is at West Virginia next year?
Oh man.
Gut check. Here.
Gut check.
Yeah.
I say Nooch.
I say Gage. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be Knox. I'm off that. No.
He's not even coming. Is he coming now or is he for the next year?
He's coming now.
Okay, cool.
His class.
Two-time Georgia's state champion, I think, right?
Yeah, he had a 40-game win streak.
Yeah.
dual threat, rushed for like 2,000 yards. Three-star.
To quote Mickey Starr, she gets you fired. But yeah.
But I'm starting the train right now for him starting the year after this, day one, as a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, that I can see. Yeah, for sure. And I thought the JMU Nation got a little off the rails when this was announced in the last 24 hours. Yeah, obviously he's leaving us too. To Frisco next year, so yeah, that's what it tends to do. But yeah,
I mean, he's like 185 pounds.
Right.
He's got some growing to do, and there's no reason to push him. But no. I think redshirt freshman, 4-year starter.
Okay, so my last one that's sports related, because I was going to say Buffalo MASH is overrated, but we've already done that before.
Yeah,
is I think JMU should move up, but not add to the stadium. So that's like two huge things in a row, right?
I'm all for that. I know everybody's like, build the stadium, build the stadium.
Right.
I don't give a lot of money my checks stop if they build that stadium out.
Well, I don't have a problem with building the stadium if they prove there's a demand, but there's nothing worse than empty seats.
No.
And I'd rather have them sell out and have 1,000 people not getting tickets or, you know, way overpaying for them on StubHub than have 5,000 or 6,000 empty seats every week. Yeah. I don't know what they're willing. And I think the NCAA doesn't seem to care about. I mean, they let Coastal and ODU and their shit stadium move up without any, you know, semblance of the 30,000 seat barrier or anything.
Oh, I mean, Coastal is drawing JMU basketball type crowds.
Right, exactly. And
it's really bad.
And no, ODU, I for all the big talk, is basically building JMU stadium now. So, you know, come on. Yeah.
No, I think it's the exact right size. And
that's right.
Even if you were to move up, I think there's a lot of value in just having 25,000 people packed in. You can argue about the aesthetics, and maybe they should have just done, like, you know, knocked down both sides of Godwin and just made it a total bowl or something.
Yeah, I'd love to see it wrap around. I mean, I wouldn't mind them adding in bits, you know, but I don't know if I need the huge second deck on the other side. Yeah.
To double it? I think that's irresponsible.
Well, it wouldn't double it, right? It would probably add a quarter or a third. I mean, there is a lower level over there at this point.
But I mean, like, essentially to build that whole thing. So you got two sides, and so it would be like 40,000.
Yeah, that seems to me like we're not there as a university.
No,
we're already, I mean, we all give our hot takes about students leaving early, but man, JMU is so fortunate. I mean, they ended up with 6,000 or 7,000 students out of a 20,000 student population. That's pretty damn impressive, all things considered. I mean, you got over a third of your student body turning out at any point in the game is pretty fantastic. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, you got to have season ticket wait lists before you start breaking ground.
Yeah, that's where
$60 million.
Right.
That's just right. Would not be a good move.
No, I mean, I know the valley's growing, but come on, right? So
don't overexpand.
Right.
Don't go through. You know.
So you got
the Boston market.
Right. Did you have any more we were missing there, Rob?
No, that's
all
it.
Right. So
good.
We'll be looking forward to hearing from all of you all how off we are with these and how what your hottest takes are this coming week. So, and then the last thing we're going to do tonight for overtime is a couple of the worst things that happened to you over 40. We're in a true old guys leave mood tonight. Someday we'll just do an old guys leave podcast, I guess, Rob. We should have all our old guys. We should have the whole crew from the old guys leave story on. It's just,
oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
be
like an oral history of Gassner and Yari at old guys leave. Yes. Right. Oh boy. Yes. Yeah, we would be so technically challenged. So
yes.
My first one, Rob, was just how much I have to think about eating. And I don't mean this like in terms of you know, I'm never someone, I mean, I hear people say they forget to eat. I don't ever forget to eat.
No,
but I do I have to think about what I'm having for dinner when I choose what to have for lunch. Now, granted, I work on a college campus where my options are, you know, basically limited to things that are really only appropriate to people under 25. Mm-hmm. But I really have to think about what I'm going to eat for dinner when I can't have a burger in the day and then have chili at night.
No,
like there's no way, you know.
No, you can't move.
I can't do it. And I have finally, I love spicy food. But I have reached a point where there is kind of a limit for me. And there certainly has to be in moderation, you know. So I don't know. Just those two things. The thinking about eating, like, in terms of not only the day, but maybe the couple of days. Like, oh, I've been eating this thing too much the last couple of days, and I can totally tell. That's really been hard to get used to.
No, it's awful. It's like, I don't know if you remember, but there's one time we were sitting in your place, like, the glory days.
Yeah.
It's me, you, and Gassner in Forest Hills, and I think we ordered Gaddy's or something like that, and as it finished, the doorbell rang with our Mr. J's, and it was awesome. It
right,
was like
right.
Back to back. Like, we were finishing, like, probably fighting over the last slice of pizza, right. And then our JoJo dogs and jerky and turkey
pretzels,
showed up,
right,
and
right.
Wings. It was like, it just one to the next. I'd roll up in a ball.
That makes me nauseous just thinking about it now. Right?
Yeah. No, but like that was just a good day. And then we probably went out for beers after that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That was just getting started. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No,
probably got a Blimpie on the way home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how about you, Rob?
Well, mine, just like in general, I just have tremendous amounts of pain. Like, just old man pains. Like, I never understand. Like, you make fun of, like, the classic, like, you know, old people get holding their back and things like that. But I'm completely that guy. You know me. I've always had a bad back because I'm tall. It's messed up. But no, I wake up in the morning, and not every morning, let's say two or three mornings a week, I need to walk around for like 15 minutes before I can put my, like, after I get out of the shower, because I can't put my socks on because I can't reach over. And it's awful. Like, I'm skiing in Colorado.
I can hear both of our fathers, like, laughing at us right now. Yeah. Right.
I mean, it was terrible. Like, first of all, I woke up, like, the crack of dawn after skiing. Like, no matter how tired you are, that's another. You wake up at like 6, no matter.
Well, you're a parent anymore. So that's, I think, even more ingrained in you than it is in me. Yes.
Yeah. It's just got. Yeah. But now I'm like, whatever. I just get up, I make coffee, and I'm just like walking around the house, being an old man before everybody else gets up. But I got up, like, I was kind of sore from skiing, sore from sleeping in a strange bed, and I was trying to get dressed before everybody else woke up, and I like fell over and couldn't get back. I couldn't reach my feet. So, like, I had my pants or, like, pajamas, like, kind of halfway around. I had one sock on, and I'm, like, moaning. It was terrible.
Someone's going to have to get Rob one of those buzzers.
Yeah, I'm getting one of the buttons. Like, I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, but it won't be to, like, get me to the hospital. It'll just be, like, so I can put my shoes and socks on and go to work. So
I love it.
I don't know. It's just all the time. I just have random pain.
Yeah. Well, I guess mine's in the same vein as that. And so far we've done eating and then random pain. And mine is, like, sleeping. Like, I used to be able to sleep anywhere, and I didn't actually care if I did sleep, right? Yeah. I mean, but I could, like, if I went to bed, I could fall asleep. And when it was time to get up, I got up. And I could sleep in forever, even though I didn't need to for any particular reason. And now I actually want to go to sleep most nights. It's impossible sometimes. And then I wake up, you know, 2 times in the middle of the night. I mean, that's pretty consistent with just getting older, I guess. But it's just so much more of a challenge now than it was when I was younger.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I didn't need it when I was younger. And now I, like, am so, like, okay, I've got 6.5 hours to get some sleep. And there's no way I'm falling asleep for 45 minutes. And then it's just the most frustrating thing in the world.
No, yeah. I just own it now. I get up and make coffee and, like, I read a book.
Right.
Because I never got that. Like, when I was a little kid, I'd wake up. My dad would have been up for hours.
How much?
He'll take a nap.
Yeah.
He'll take a nap at 10:30.
Yeah.
And now I'm well. I haven't done the mid-morning nap, but I've done the just, maybe we'll get up and watch the news or go to the gym.
How much more are you? I mean, I used to drink coffee because it was, like, enjoyable on occasion, or maybe I was hungover or something. Now I'm, like, completely dependent on it all day, every day. You know, not all day, but just, like, I definitely have coffee every morning.
I definitely do, but for me, it's more like a ritual. Like, I don't get headaches if I skip coffee or anything.
No, I guess Jessica does. I just feel wiped out if I don't. I'm so used to it now, I guess. Yeah.
It gets me out of bed.
Probably why I'm not sleeping, but there you go.
Yeah. might be connected.
Did you have another one there, Rob?
Yeah, I guess just I've lost all sense of relativity when it comes to time. Like, you hit 40.
And you now mean, like, something happened 8 years ago or 18 years ago?
Yeah. Like, just I'm 40, so, like, everything – I don't feel young by any stretch. I know that. I mean, my freaking college diploma is old enough to drink. Like, it's been around for a while. But, like, just things that still seem like they happened yesterday to me, it blows my mind that they're completely irrelevant to others. Like,
stories we just told tonight.
Correct.
Yes, okay,
Like, why is it that people I work with haven't seen every episode of Seinfeld?
Right.
You know, like, I drop a Cheers reference, and they're like, huh?
Huh? Right.
I mean, it's just crazy. But, like, nothing makes sense to me. Like, nobody born in the 90s should be able to drink legally in a bar ever. Like, it's just, you're too young. Right. And I know, like, there are people, I'll probably work for somebody in the 90s before it's all said and done.
Yes.
Like, Y2K was, like, 15 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
I don't get it. It's like, I hear about things happening in the early 2000s. I'm like, oh, that was, like, a year or two ago.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, holy crap. No, it's we're almost in 2020.
Yeah, so. I didn't realize it was today the, 30th or 40th anniversary of the Challenger?
Yeah.
And there's a guy from North Carolina NT here in Greensboro who was one of the astronauts on that flight. And so there's all kinds of stuff, you know, going on for him here in town today. And I was like, man, I did not realize it was, you know, like, it just, they're like, 30 years? What?
30 years? Yeah, like, 30 years. I still think of, oh, no, that's the 60s.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Oh, unbelievable.
It goes too quickly.
Yes. So with that, yes, everybody have a good week. We'll be back with more exciting stuff next week. Thanks as always to Pale Fire. Go see Tim and Susan at the Tap Room and the whole crew. Go get their beers wherever you can in Virginia. I'll be looking for some this weekend, doing a little traveling up that way too. We're really excited. I think that thank you so much to Katie Prince and Sammy Seaton and the whole, all the SIDs and the whole crew at the Athletics Communications, who's, you know, been helping us out a little bit lately. Hopefully we'll have some good guests for you the next couple of weeks. As always, thank you to those of us who keep sticking with us in the off season. We are thrilled that you are still here and we love you guys. Can't wait to see you in Morgantown or in at Bridgeforth in the fall, if not before.
Or maybe this spring for a softball game or lacrosse game.
Yeah, that would be even better. Yes. So I don't know, Rob. I will talk to you next week. Hopefully we will figure out our tech and be able to have an actual guest on next week.
Absolutely. All right. Have a good week, everyone.
Go Dukes.
Just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.